Joining us now in studio, we have a treat for you. It's Patrick Mader, Packy Mader, who has written a book. He's an author, and we've had him on before about Minnesota Gold, which is Minnesotans who have competed in the Olympics. And Packy, thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation, Jeff.
Now, this has always got to be kind of a big time for you as an author on Minnesotans in the Olympics. We've got a lot of them in the Olympics this year.
That's right. Always in the winter, Minnesota has a real high representation. In fact, this Olympics, it's the third most of any state behind Colorado and California.
Mm-hmm.
And some years, Minnesota actually leads the nation as far as Winter Olympians.
Well, we've got the winter for it, no doubt about it.
That's right. Probably two-thirds of our Olympians are winter ones, and it's because of our environment and somewhat storied heritage, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had you on right after the book came out. What has happened over the course of the last few years? We were talking just before we went on the air here. You have you're known in the Olympic community now, and you even get invited to some of the big events.
Yes, they have been so welcoming, and it has been just a very fulfilling and enriching experience. For example, on Friday, there's a local chapter of Minnesota Olympians, Paralympians, and they invited me to watch the opening ceremonies with them on a large screen TV at a mayoral convention, and it was just a treat to be among them again.
All right. Now, have as you mentioned, a lot of Minnesotans in the Olympics this year. Have you met with most of them or all of them at some point or another? A lot of them are in not their first Olympics. They've been in several.
That's right. With this particular Olympics, no. I've met, I think, only two, and only one was in the first book. Jesse Diggins, a cross-country skier from Afton who skied for Stillwater High School. However, I am working on a second book, so I'm hoping that a couple of the ones that are competing in this Olympics will consent to be interviewed and be featured in the next book.
You mentioned Jesse Diggins. Boy, she has really a chance to be become America's sweetheart here this week, as a matter of fact, at the Olympics. For those who don't know Jesse Diggins, haven't heard of her, she is a cross-country skier and could very well become the most successful cross-country skier in American history. America's only one medal period in any cross-country skiing race in all the Olympics. She has a chance to add to that and even surpass it individually.
Yes, she is America's big hope. She has medaled several times in the World Championships, which is often a harbinger of what's to come. And she is just an exuberant, cheerful person, and she's competing in six events. So unless she gets real tired, hopefully she will perform well. She did one race. She got fifth, which was outstanding. It's the best an American woman has ever done in cross-country skiing in the Olympics.
And from what I understand, that's not really her specialty. She was really pleased with that fifth-place finish. She feels good, and they're coming up a little later on in the Olympics will be some of her specialties, and she's poised to do pretty well.
Yes, in fact, her mother and I gave a presentation at Red Wing Library about a week ago, and her mother was saying that the 5K freestyle is her best event, and that's coming up.
Well, hopefully we wish her the best, and she's just and I did interview her one time. She was in Northfield conducting a clinic. This has been a few years ago. She was quite young at that time, but what a bright, cheerful, wonderful. I mean, she really has a chance to kind of capture the hearts with her personality and her her success on the slopes.
I think so. She's also talented in other ways. She plays violin and guitar. She's got the personality to draw people. And I think that if she is real successful, I think that the United States may even see a boom in women's cross-country skiing, just like Bill Cluck did when he won the 1976 silver medal for the men.
That was one of the most stunning upsets in the history of the Olympic Games as far as America goes. Nobody thought any American would even come close, but he had a huge race. I remember when that happened. That was quite the news.
Yes, it was. And it did cause a boomlet in cross-country skiing across the country here.
Now, we as in Minnesota, Minnesotans have people. I'm just looking at the schedule here in today's Star Tribune, everywhere from, you know, the skiing, her and Lindsey Vonn, Jesse Diggins and Lindsey Vonn will be getting the headlines, and they hopefully will be bringing home some real nice hardware for us. But boy, there's a lot of other, of course, hockey, a lot of hockey, but we've got curling, men's and women's, curling, biathlon, and other sports as well. Do you have you talked with those athletes very much, or do you plan on it in the future?
I do hope to contact some of them in the future. I do not have real good connections with them, but I have connections in the curling community, and I also do in the women's hockey. Gigi Marvin from War Road has consented to an interview, but she requested it be in April after getting back from the Olympics, and they go on tour a lot, so I will be either seeing her in War Road or the Twin Cities in April.
And she's another multi-Olympian.
That's right.
She's been in, I don't really know how many.
This is her third.
Third Olympics. Yeah, she has been a mainstay in American hockey for a number of years. What about the men's hockey team? Have you talked with any of them? Or
it's a different kind of experience this year for the men's hockey team because the NHL is not allowing players to go. So mm-hmm. the United States team and the Canadian team, which have been doing well in the Olympics, are considered at best dark horses. The Russian team is favored this year. So it's really has to be either amateurs or minor league players to be on the hockey team this year. And Minnesota only has two in the men's.
I like that. I'm as far as keeping the pros out, I'm all for that.
I think a lot of people are, and I think a lot of it goes back to the wonderful experience of the 1980 gold medal Miracle on Ice team when it was an amateur team. So it just brings back these good feelings to the people.
Once again, we're talking with Patrick Packy Mater, about some Minnesotans in the Olympics. You have written a book, and let's talk about that, kind of recap what we've talked about before. Minnesota Gold is the name of it, and you don't have to be a gold medalist to be in there, do you?
That's right. The title of Minnesota Gold is more because I found these athletes to be golden as far as their character goes. It also was a trademark issue because originally I was going to call it 57 Minnesota Olympians, but Olympians, Olympics, the torch and the rings are all trademarked, and the U.S. Olympic Committee gave me a rather terse letter that said I could not do that. And then the publisher and I bandied around different ideas for the title, and we're actually happier now with Minnesota Gold anyway.
I think that kind of sums it up very well. Some of the athletes that you've had on there, we'll probably be updating that at some point and adding the new ones, but you go back and have interesting conversations with people that have had Olympic, I want to say success, or at least have appeared in the Olympics, which is a success in itself, dating way back to, I want to say, the 20s or 30s?
I only did a living Olympians.
Okay.
So it's 1948 because there were no Olympics in 40 and 44, and there are no Minnesota living Olympians from 1936.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still one living from 1948 from Roseau, Minnesota. His name is Ruben Bjorkman. He's still living. He was an Olympian at age 18 on the hockey team, which was quite a feat. And I got to see him again this spring in April. I was up in War Road, and Ruben and I and his wife and my wife Karen got together for dinner. It was wonderful.
All right. Is he still playing hockey?
No, but it is amazing. The athletes, Wendy Anderson was playing hockey. Our former governor was an Olympian in 1956. He was playing hockey until he was almost 80. And Janet Gerhauser, who was a figure skater in the 1952 Olympics, I have a picture of her in the book, and she was skating at age 78 yet. So it is amazing how they keep in contact with their sport.
Well, those are sports that, even though they are competitive sports in the Olympics, they're accessible to Minnesotans, and so many Minnesotans, you need something to do in the wintertime, and you need something to keep you active. It's really good to see those athletes still, even though not competition, or maybe not competition, that they're keeping active.
Yes, and one of the refreshing things I found about the Olympians is how they give back to their sport and their community in general. A lot of them, one of the Olympians I met at that opening ceremonies was Jamie Langenbrunner from Cloquet, who was a longtime professional hockey player, and he was captain of one of the Olympic teams. And he's coaching a youth team in Cloquet now. It's just fun to see these people of such stature and fame just going back, and he's just the coach to these 13-year-old kids.
Yeah, that is good to see. And I know there's people here locally that have had success in hockey, maybe not the Olympics, but and well, a lot of different sports that are developing into youth. Now, Minnesota has one of those right now, the coach of the women's team, Rob Stauber, the former Gopher great. And I think he, if memory serves, he was a Hobey Baker winner with the Gophers.
That's right. I think he was maybe, to this point, the only goalie to ever win the Hobey Baker Award. And he's having great success. And the coach of the women's team is from, she was born in Faribault, Ms. Murray, and she is doing a phenomenal job trying to blend this is the Korean team, trying to blend the North and South Korean players together. And it's quite a position that she's in, and quite a historic moment for the team too.
Yeah, that is. There's a whole different kind of dynamic, though. I don't know if the Koreans are favored at all to win in hockey, but the underlying story with the combined teams certainly making some headlines.
Right, and particularly there's a girl from Minnesota who's getting a lot of attention because she was adopted by a family in Van Nuys Heights. Her name is Marissa Brandt, and she went to Gustavus. Our daughter, who also attended Gustavus, is acquainted with her, and I'm sure a lot of other people connected with Gustavus know her. She is a sister to an American hockey player on the team, the American team named Hannah. So they have the possibility of meeting in the Olympics, one playing for the Korean team and one playing for the American team. And it is just, it's quite a story, and it's just really fun to see happen.
Yeah, you'll have two beaming parents sitting in the crowd for that one.
They have mentioned they're not quite sure how they're going to cheer. They're just going to cheer all the time is kind of their response.
Now, you've written the book. It's called Minnesota Gold, and you can, folks, that is out there, and we'll get to that in just a moment or so. But you mentioned you might be writing another one. Is this going to be a follow-up, a whole new book, or...?
Yes, it's going to be very similar. I had so much fun doing these Olympians, and there are about 300-plus Minnesota living Olympians. The first book had 57. It was such a positive experience that I decided there are other stories out there that should be preserved, and it's going to be very similar, different eras, different sports, tried to balance as much as possible between men and women and have a big geographic representation. So it'll be probably just titled something like More Minnesota Gold.
All right. Do you ever think of, I guess you'll, it seems like you're just kind of waiting to see where this whole thing leads you. Sectioning off the Winter Olympics from the Summer Olympics.
I decided not to do that or just to focus on one sport just because, again, I wanted more of a broad stroke. Mm-hmm. And also there are so many obscure sports, for example, canoeing, kayaking, team handball. And those people just never really get acknowledged, and they just live on a shoestring budget because they're not funded very well, and yet they had some of the most fascinating, intriguing stories that I just thought should be saved and shared.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be when do you anticipate the new book to be out?
My goal is December of 2019, which would be a 3-year project from the time I started. The first book actually took 4 years, but now just because I have a few more connections and know the process a little better, I'm hoping to cut off a year.
All right. Well, it'll be hopefully in time for the 2020 Olympics.
That's my goal, yes.
I'm sure that's the target right there. And where can they get your book now, Minnesota Gold?
They can get it right through my website, which is just my name, www.patrickmader.com. Content bookstore here in town has been very gracious and also has it in stock, and then also through internet sales.
I love the stories in there. It has Olympians, so many of them you'll know, so many of them you won't know, but they all have great stories, great stories.
I think so, and that is, again, the fun of it. Sometimes I will have an hour and a half scheduled to be with the Olympian, and they will go with their stories, and we just go with the flow, and it's more than 3 hours later, and I am just enthralled the whole time.
All right. Well, we look forward to, once again, the new book coming out, and you've got a while before that, but enjoy the Olympics. Are you going to be able to watch a lot of this?
I'm hoping to. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'm real busy during this time with going speaking and presenting. In fact, I'm going to be at Greenville Elementary on Friday. I just wanted to mention one more thing about Jessie Diggins, because sure. she is, again, such an interesting, fun-loving person. You will notice that if you see her interviewed on TV, she's almost always wearing a hat that says Slumberland, which has nothing to do at all with skiing. And it's because her family owns a Slumberland store in Red Wing, and her father works in the corporate office. So they're a sponsor for her. And it is just a unique thing, that little insight into sponsorship, too.
All right. Cool thing. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Patrick Packy-Mater, once again, Minnesota Gold is the book. It's available on his website. You can do the Google. Content Bookstore here has them as well.